Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. You've tuned in to, hallelujah, the Men's Fellowship of the Potter's House Christian Prayer and Worship Center. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Mighty men of valor, glory to God. We thank God for you tonight. I tell you, we only do this, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah, every, hallelujah, second Friday of the month. But it's good for men to get together, hallelujah, and share what's in their hearts, hallelujah. And I want to share this with you before we go into a quick prayer. We want to let you know, we have a number that you can call if you want to comment, chime in on anything that we're discussing. If you want to ask the question, it can be we can put it on the air, or it can be we can actually you can relate it through us. But again, we ask that you don't call. The number to call will be 443-416-1352. To call, to chime in on our discussion, or you have a question or another comment. But anyway, don't call it yet, because we got one more a selection to put in right now. Hallelujah, glory to God. I'm going to try to key it up, try to chime, what do you call it? Yeah, key it up. I think that's the right word, hallelujah, to key it up right now, hallelujah. And we're doing it right now. And this is to you, mighty men of valor. I want you to hear this.
And the angel of the Lord appeared unto me and said unto me, fear not. The Lord is with thee, Emmanuel. Thou mighty man of valor, whom shall I fear?
Shadow of war through the valley, understanding with death, the Lord is my shepherd. Jehovah Shalom, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, the spiritual war, the devil comes in like a flood. Spirit of the Lord, lift up a sentence against him. Kids, spirit, redemption, salvation, help my shield above all. Taking the shield of faith, quenching the fiery darts of the wicked, the sword of the spirit, able to withstand in the evil day. Having the knowledge to stand and pray, put on the breastplate of righteousness, women of God, garments of vengeance, fury of fire to my adversaries, my enemies repay a recompense. Fear the name of the Lord from the west, his glory from the rise, another sun. Stand ye still, no need to fight in this battle, the battle's already won. See the south face, another Lord from the watchtower, even in the wilderness, this is God places, Lord, make it rain for you, rain forever, whosoever will. Take it freely, believe in the Lord and be established, believe in this prophet, so you prosper. For with God, all things are possible. What to say? I'm a saint. What the Lord say, let the Redeemer lead the creed of the gospel. Blessed are they that have not seen yet, have believed. He that have been in his valley, believe and receive and know his valley. I'm a soldier ready for the battle, for I'm a mighty man of valor. No evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Condemnation to every tongue that rise against me, the same for every weapon. Though it may form, it shall never prosper. Nothing stop me from living the gospel. God searches the heart, and that's the matter. For I'm a mighty man of valor. Fear no evil, for the Lord is with thee. No need no signs, though you show me time and time. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at that right hand. No weapon forms shall ever prosper. Nothing stop me from living the gospel. God searches the heart, and that's the matter. For I'm a mighty man of valor. I'm a soldier in the Lord's army. No weapon formed against me will ever harm me. Endure the hardness, strong in the grace of God and the power of his might. Fight the good fight of faith, hold eternal life. Pain, glory, I would rather die. Do what thou rather be angry, no need to discuss. I sleep in the dust. God is living me from my afflictions. My adversaries talking up perdition. Mysteries of iniquity, do have already worked, pirate, pay attention. Be not deceived, for many say that I am. Be sober, be vigilant, for the enemy seeking whom he may devour. For me, I'm a mighty man of valor. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? He's the strength of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies, my foes, come to eat up my flesh, and I'm in distress and in heavy fire, I know it's a test. My God, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, my high tower, there's power in the name of Jesus, spiritual warfare with Jesus, casting out demons, what's the name, Legion, finally my brother, be strong in the Lord, and in the power of his might. Keep fighting the good fight, and do what's good and what's right in the sight of the Lord. Remember, this battle's not yours, but the violence taken by force. I'm talking faith, and faith coming by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do of thy diligence with a pure and whole heart. Step before the sauna, endure persecutions, crown of life for the martyr. Where's thy victory? Only in Jehovah Nisi. The Lord is our banner. What manner of man is this, equipped and ready for the battle? Simple by zealous don't matter, cause me, I'm a mighty man of valor.
Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Mighty man of valor. Talking about you, you on the line today. I'm talking about you. God's talking about you. That glory to God. That brother's talking about you, a mighty man of valor. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 2:9 tells you who you are. Hallelujah. A holy nation. Hallelujah. Royal priesthood. You are a mighty man of valor. Glory to God. Judges 6:12. You are a mighty man of valor. Come on now. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God, hallelujah. I want you to understand that you got more power in your little finger than the devil has in his whole kingdom. Glory to God. Because you can decree the thing, and it shall be bound. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loose in heaven. Devil can't even do that. Come on now. You are a mighty man of valor. Father God, in the name of Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for every man, every boy, every family represented today on this call today, oh God. We thank you, oh God, that you're blessing them super abundantly above. Yes, the thief cometh but for to steal, kill, and destroy. But you said, Lord, in your word that I am come, that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So we thank you, God, for more abundant life for every man and every boy under the sound of my voice tonight. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Spiritual, emotional, physical, social, and financial prosperity. We decree and declare even to our 1,000 generations in your family in Jesus' name. We thank you, God. Holy Spirit, have your way. We bless your name. We give you the glory, they give you the honor, and give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Ooh, amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, I got to tell you, this is a relaxed, this is not service, this is a camaraderie between brothers of the faith, warriors of the word, guardians of the altar. Hallelujah. Those are a blood washed, purchased, Holy Ghost filled, tongue talking, fire baptized, men and boys of the Lord God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that's right. We deal with, I don't care if you're 5 or you're 50 or you're 7 or 70. Hallelujah. This is for you today. And what we're going to be talking about just for a few minutes, because we only on for, glory to God, for 40 minutes, and I didn't use up a whole bunch of that right now. Glory to God. We're going to be talking about your vision, knowledge, and your vision. Hosea 4:2 says, "The people perish because of the lack of knowledge." Men, young boys, you got to have a vision for your life. You know, if you children, young boys, you know, you heard people ask you, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" That's your vision. But the thing about it, write it down. Men, it's important for you to have a vision for your life. You say, "Well, I'm not married and I'm looking for a wife." If you don't have a vision, you want to help me to help you do nothing? No, you got to have a vision for your life. See, and the vision starts with knowledge. You got to understand what God has opened up to you that you can have. A word of God says again in Hosea 4:2, the people perish because of the lack of knowledge. You got to have knowledge. And true knowledge is the knowledge from God. So what I'm saying indirectly, you got to read his word. You can't get around it. I want to know what God wants to do for my life, wants me to do. Where do he wants me to go? How he wants me to? You got to read as well. Were you waiting for a special impartation from heaven? Now he can do that, and he will do that. But you know, it's like the guy who wrote the textbook in your class. Now he can come at every class and tell you everything. But he just said, "Can you do me a favor? I spent years putting this textbook together. Can you read the textbook, please? Because I don't know if I could be at every one of your classes every day, so as long as you're in school." Glory to God. So you got to read his word. And then, and that was Hosea 4:2. And then in Proverbs 29, verse 18, it says, "Write the vision." Let me back up. It says, "Without a vision, the people perish." So you can perish because of lack of knowledge, and then you get the knowledge, and you're still going to perish because you didn't get a vision. You got to have a vision for your life. "Well, I want a wife. What's your vision? I want a business. Where's your vision? I want a home. I want a car. I want to get a new job. What's your vision for yourself?" Hallelujah. And then in glory to Habakkuk 2:2, you got to write these scriptures down because you need to go back to them. Hosea 4:2, chapter 4, verse 2. Proverbs 29:18. And now Habakkuk, I know, don't ask me how to spell it, but Habakkuk, chapter 2, verse 2. And Habakkuk, it says, "Write the vision and make it plain." That means understandable, viewable, readable, so that someone running by can see it and act accordingly. In other words, if you got a vision, you got to write it down. So everybody in your God can understand what your vision is and where you need to go and what they need to do and how they fit in your vision. But you got to write it down. But, you know, I don't write too well. Get a tape recorder and tape it. I don't have a tape recorder. Borrow one. God. Go to the pawn shop and buy one. You probably can get one for $2. But you got to write the vision. If not in paper, then write it on a tape. To God. But make it plain. Why do you need a vision? Because you want to have success in your life. Is that right? You want to be successful. Now, before you begin writing your vision, you need to understand this. because you got to, you know, you got to read the word. There are three things that you got to have going for you. The first thing, of course, is turn your life over to Christ. Okay, then there are three things that you got to have going for you after that. Number one is have a coachable, teachable spirit. You can't have a know-it-all spirit, because if you have a know-it-all spirit, that means you're the richest person in the world because you know everything. And if you're not the richest person in the world, then you don't know everything. Number two, you have to have a burning desire to please God and be excellent, full of integrity and civility. You know, hallelujah. Know how to talk to God and to others. You, again, a burning desire to be excellent. And excellence includes your integrity and includes your civility. Hallelujah. And then the third thing is a willingness to work and go the extra mile. Just don't go to the line, but go the extra mile. Again, those three things: a coachable, teachable spirit, a burning desire to please God and be excellent, and a willingness to work and go the extra mile. You got that. Okay, now you're set. Now you're set to write your vision. And the journey of 1,000 miles begins with your first step. So the first thing you do, get yourself a piece of paper, a pen or a pencil, and at the top of your page, write vision. And then number one, where do you see yourself in God a month from now, a year from now, or whatever? You don't have an answer there? Okay, let's go. Let's do something else. Where do you see yourself physically or in the flesh? Where do you see yourself a month from now, a year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years from now? You write that down. In other words, what do you want? And then you begin to write that, what you want to see manifested in your life. And that's your vision. You write it. Oh, are you going to be able to cross all the T's and dot all the I's? Everything be, the right verbiage, you know, the grammatically correct? No, you might misspell words or whatever. But the essence of your vision, you got to write it. You know, I started a vision many years ago. And it started off, I think, with a half a page, then got to a page. And right now, I think it's at 3 pages or 4 pages. Lord Jesus, God. But the bottom line is you got to have a vision. Nobody wants to follow you if you don't know where you're going. Hello? That's right. I said nobody wants to follow you, listen to you, hear from you, if you don't know where you're going. That's why it's important for you to read the word, because the Bible says in, you can write the scripture down, Psalms 119, verse 105. The word of God is a lamp unto your feet. In other words, it lets you know where you are. And then it's a light unto your path. It lets you know where you're going or where you want to go. That's the future. The lamp unto your feet is the present, because you got to know where you are right now and then where you want to go. And the sky is the limit. You know why the sky is the limit? Because of who you are and whose you are. 1 Peter 2:9. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That doesn't mean you're strange. It means that you are blessed. You're talented. You are gifted. You have abilities that others don't have. You are not an afterthought of God. You're not an also-ran of God. Hallelujah. You are not just something that God threw up on a wall and to see if it stuck. You were planned from the foundation of the world. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Ephesians 5. And Ephesians 5, it talks about you were planned from the foundation of the world. Before the world was created, God knew you. Why? You were in his heart. And he sent you here to do a specific thing. You said, but I don't know what it is. That's time for you to find out. Let me give you a hint. And see, God gives you a hint of the gifting that he's put in your life. You know, the hint, you got it when you were 4 and 5 years old and 6 and 7. Those things that you had a passion for, you had, you seemed to want to do. It was easy for you to do because you didn't have, you know, stuff blocking you because you haven't developed all those blocks that we develop as we go along in life. But you were free to dream. You were free to imagine. You know what the biggest nation in the world? Mm-hmm. That's a good quote. That's a good thought. No, the biggest nation in the world is your imagination. And God said to dream big. Because if you don't, if you're not living in a more abundant life, you're living beneath your privilege. You have to dream big. You got a great big God, and so you got to dream big. Everything that you do, your vision ought to be big. Your vision ought to be so big that you know that one person can't deal with your vision. It might have to be 100 people, might have to be 1,000 people to deal with your vision. That's how big. God wants you to have a great vision. Because he's a great God. Is that right? Can I get an amen? But anyway, look, I open up the phones now. If you want to call, call in and comment on what was shared, you can do so now, or you have a comment. I know my time is coming. It's going out. Let me ask Siri. Hey, Siri, what time is it? Hey, Siri, what time is it? Oh, 7:21. I got a few more minutes. All right. You got time to call in. If you got a question about something that I've shared or a comment, you can call this number. I'm going to give it to you now, and you have liberty to call right now. That's 443-416-1352. You can call that right now. Hallelujah. And some of you, I know some of you may want to say, well, can you give it to me again? 443-416-1352. You can call that number if you want to comment on what I've said or you want to ask a question or whatever. You can do that right now. The line is open. Hallelujah. And if you don't want to speak on the air, that's all right. We won't put you the call near the phone. We'll just get what you said. And hold on just a second. Hallelujah. Okay. Someone says, where to start? A good place to start is the Lord lead me, is a prayer. Lord lead me and guide me to writing my vision. Give me the knowledge, Hallelujah, to be able to write my vision. Now, that's where you start. Thanks. I would thank God for that question. The place also with God is also in his word. In Genesis 1:26, it says, let me see if I can get that. Genesis 1:26, it says that God created us in his image, in the likeness of God. He created us, male and female, to rule, have dominion, dominate, have sovereignty over the earth. You got power. In fact, in Psalms 115, verse 16 says, heaven belongs to God, but the earth he has given to the children of men. That's you. You control the horizontal and the vertical of your life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You must understand that. And, of course, we give it over to God, but we decide. He gives us choice. Hallelujah. In Joshua, hallelujah, glory to God. I think Joshua, 24? It talks about choose you this day whom you shall serve. You got to choose. He gives you choice. You know, somebody can, you know, they won't make you do that. God is not a bully. He's a gentleman. So write your vision. Again, that's the key of today's talk. Write your vision. And if you want more guidance, just label your vision of spiritual, emotional, physical, social, and financial. Your vision, spiritual, you feel like you've been called to ministry. Well, that's what you put down. You're ordained a minister, or you want to be ordained a bishop, or ordained whatever. Put that vision down. It got to be bigger than you. And then emotionally, I see you had a temper. Come on, you know you had a temper. You know you wear your what do you call it, your chips on your shoulder. No, you want to control that. Well, you go to Galatians 5:22-23, and let the fruit of the Spirit live big in you. Hallelujah. That's the character of Christ. That's the mind of Christ in that verses 22 and 23. That's what you have. That's what you get. That's what you deal with. And physically, you want to be free of disease. You want to be free of illnesses. Hallelujah. So you deal with the word of God. I love the word of God. Hallelujah. Psalms 107:20 says he sends the word to heal. Hallelujah. Matthew's, glory to God. Hallelujah. 3 John 1 and 2 says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. He wants you healed, whole, and delivered. He wants you prosperous. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Physically and then socially, that's favor. Glory to God. God says, I can give you favor, hallelujah, with me and with people. That's what social prosperity is, favor with people. You come into the bank and there's a long line, and the president of the bank gets up and says, oh, you come, you don't have to wait. I'll take care of you myself. That's favor with people. Favor with God. You walking out and you need $80,000 for your mortgage, and the people say, if you don't come up with $80,000 in 3 days, we're going to have to put you out. And while you walking, you and your wife are walking in a square, a tree-laden area, money starts floating from the sky. And when you finish picking up the money, hallelujah, it's over $80,000. And you say, well, where you get that from? You really got to imagine it. No, that actually happened to a pastor and his wife. Over $80,000 came floating from the sky. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, favor with God. Hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. And financial prosperity, I said that right there. Hallelujah, from the north, east, south, and the west. In fact, in Deuteronomy, it talks that God wants to bless you up into a thousand generations. All of the harvest of every good seed sown by you and your family throughout the years, throughout the ages, to come upon you up to a thousand generations. Hallelujah, from the north, from the east, from the south, and the west. You receive it in Jesus' name. Glory to God. So when you start writing, glory to God, you start writing that vision and do it. Don't be saying, oh, I hear you, Brother Bird, and you don't write it. You need to start, if nothing else, in a piece of paper, put down the top vision, and then put number one. And you may not put nothing else down there, but you done started your vision. You know, if I put the word vision up the top and start and thinking big. Think big. Your God is a big God. Hallelujah. If the earth is his footstool, you know he real big. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thought my suits are big, but he can't fit in my suit. I want you to know, glory to God. Hallelujah. I hear you. I see you laughing. Brother Reggie and Calvin and Cam and Sterling and hallelujah, and Barry and David and Scooter, hallelujah, Sterling, all of y'all, I see, Brother Jerry, hallelujah, glory to God, Raheem, and glory to God, Angelo and Antonio and Dexter and David, glory to God, hallelujah, and Pastor Dustin, glory to God, and Pastor Lewis, God bless you. All of y'all that are on this call, I thank God for you, hallelujah, and Tavon and Earl and another Earl and another Earl, and God bless you. I hope that you got the message. Without the knowledge, people perish because of lack of knowledge. And then the knowledge is for you so that you can write your vision and make it plain. Hallelujah. It's time for you to have a vision for your life. Because if you don't know where you're going, you don't know when you'll get there. I don't know where you're going. Nobody will know where you're going. You got to write a vision for yourself. And so if you want somebody to join your life, you better have a vision. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Boy, I didn't hear the alarm go off. I don't know. Hey, Siri, what time is it?
It's 7:30 p.m.
Oh, my goodness. I got 10 more minutes. Any more calls? If someone has a comment about what was said, you can call right now. Hallelujah. If anybody wants to make ask another question, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You can call now. Okay. Good question. Here's a good question. You write your vision, and then you share your vision with someone you want to marry, and their vision is different. What do you do? Good God, Lord have mercy. Oh, these are some good questions tonight. As simple as this. Number one, you can't have two visions in a home. Because you know what? It's going to be division. So what do? What happens is that you make her vision part of your vision and your vision part of her vision. In other words, as long as your visions are godly visions, we're not talking about a vision. I want to rob 10 banks in 10 days. That's not godly. That's not a good vision. In fact, that's worse than, oh, my goodness. I don't have words for that. But the bottom line is that you make her vision part of your vision and your vision part of her vision so that you can have what? Oh, you say it. Okay. Brother Jerry, Warren, yeah, say it. Okay. That's right. By the eyes of my faith, ears of my faith. He said, so you can have one vision. And one vision in the home is going to take that home to the stratosphere. God's going to bless your socks off. When two people touch and agree, what did the word say? God's going to do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look, Job 22:28 says, hallelujah, you can decree a thing and it shall be established. When y'all work on one vision, y'all are decreeing a thing, and guess what? It's going to happen. So let it be written, so let it be done in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Any more questions tonight? If you have any more questions, feel free to give us a call in. Any questions? Hallelujah. Any more questions? We love what's coming up now. We love what because this is men's fellowship. We get to glory to God. Oh, glory to God. Oh, this question. Look, I am sick. I'm on my sick bed. The doctors told me I don't have long. Do I still need a vision? Oh, the quick answer to that is yes. You have a vision. Glory to God. Psalms 118, verse 17 says, I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. That is your vision. Declare the works of the Lord. I will not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. That's your vision. And do more. Again, write your vision for your life. Write your vision. I don't care what the doctor said. You know what they have behind a doctor's name? Practicing physician. You know what they have behind Jesus' name? The good physician. They don't have practicing. He is the healer. Is Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Hallelujah. You write your vision. Make it great. Make it glorious. Oh, Lord have mercy. Hallelujah. I'm thinking about that song by Martha Menendez. We were created to make his praise glorious. Your vision ought to make God's praise glorious. Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what? No more questions. I'm gonna try to key up that song by Martha Menendez. Some of y'all heard Martha Menendez, and I know this is men's fellowship, and y'all say, "Well, I want to hear a man sing." Well, no, come on, we ain't gonna be like that. We ain't going to be like that. I'm trying to key this up right now. Hallelujah. 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 We're trying to key it up right now. Hallelujah. Any more questions while we're trying to key up this I need a technician. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Speech on.
Okay, here we go. Let me
page
see.
Page one of Glorious. Martha.
There, there it is. Hallelujah. Here it is. Hallelujah.
Popular track.
Thank you, men, for joining us for the men's fellowship on today. See you in October, the second Friday in October. God bless you. You mighty men of valor, get to dancing. You are who you are. Look, as we're playing this, if the music stops, it's because the alarm went off. We're at our 7:40 point. But listen to this. Get to stepping. Get to praising God. Father God, we just thank you for every man and every boy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah that we're on this broadcast on today. We thank you, God, for meeting their needs, every need in abundance. Yes, meeting them at the point of their need and then giving them superabundantly above. Every man, woman, boy, every man and every boy, hallelujah, glory to God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for the homes that they, hallelujah, glory to God. Hallelujah, that they represent, oh God. We bless your name. We bless them in Jesus' name. God bless you. And have a victorious month until next second Friday. And we do encourage you to visit us. We have one live service a month at the Parsonage, the sanctuary located in the lower level of Parsonage, 3007 Iona Terrace. That's Baltimore, Maryland, 21214. That's the side entrance. And we do have a rear entrance for handicap. It's a handicap accessible entrance in the rear. So our service is at 3 p.m. on Sundays. And, of course, our virtual service during the week is on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Again, the same number that you called to hear this service. Join us. Grow with us. Strive with us. Press toward the mark for the prize with us. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. God bless you. And we're getting ready to transition to the Women's Fellowship. So bear with us. You may hear some music in the background. But we're going to transition to, hallelujah, the Women's Fellowship. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Testing 1, 2, 3. Pastor Peaches. Hallelujah. Minister Linda.
Yes.
All right.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your name.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Bless your holy name, Lord God.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father God, we just praise your name. Hallelujah. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, God, bless every lady, Lord God, every female, Lord God, that's tuning in tonight. Hallelujah. We ask you, Lord God, to bless the Lord God from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. In the name of Jesus, we submit our bodies, our minds, our souls, everything to you, Lord. Hallelujah. We praise you, God. Bless
you, God.
Time, Lord. It's time, Lord. Bless the men that's gone on before us, Lord. Hallelujah. The word of God that's going on tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Touch, Lord God. Heal, deliver. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Bless your name, Jesus. We thank you, God. All that you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. Bless me, Lord God. Bless Sister Linda, Lord God, and what we're going to share tonight. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Amen.
Yes, Father. Amen and amen. Bless my sister. Thank you, Father God.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 To all the ladies out there, good evening. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Good evening.
Hallelujah. I hear an echo. But you know what? That's all right. Hallelujah. Sister Linda and I hear you there, Sister Linda?
Hey there, sister.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. God is awesome. God is so good. And tonight, ladies, we are going to talk about taking time out for us. Hallelujah. I remember I was thinking about the commercial, and it comes on, and it's a Calgon commercial, and it says, the cat, the dog, the doorbell. The children, Calgon, take me away. And as you know what? We are so sensitive to everybody around us. We try and take care. If the cat needs to be taken to get his shots, we try and take the cat to get his shots. And I was on the phone today trying to find somewhere I can take the cat to get his shots. I'm serious. Literally. If the husband, the man of the house needs something, we try and take care of the man of the house. No matter what he needs, try and make sure, no matter how we feel, try and make the man of the house taking care of him, taking care, make sure the mail is brought in, the groceries, we done shop for the groceries, bring in the groceries, put the groceries away, try and take care, and you all on a job. You trying to take care of your coworkers. You trying to wonder, like, well, what can I do for my coworkers? What can I do for this one? What can I do for my mom? What can I do for my sisters? What can I do for my brothers? What can I do for this one? What can I do for that one? And you know what? After a while, you are so rattled and tazzled and frazzled that you have nothing to give to yourself. You have nothing to give to yourself. I am serious. And you know what? I've been talking to ladies about this thing for the last 40 years, that, you know, we have to take out some time for us. We have to take – sometimes we may have to steal away. Sometimes you may have to let the phone ring. Let the baby cry. Let the doorbell ring. And go take a bubble bath and shut the bathroom door and lock it if you have to lock it. Because you know, right, when you want to go to bed, when you want to take a bath, you know what happens, right? Everybody else got to go pee. Everybody got to go to the bathroom. And if that's the only bathroom in the house, everybody knocking on the door, Ma. And then sometimes they maybe say, Ma, what you doing? And you say, my goodness, can I have some time to myself? And it's just like, oh, no. And sometimes you say, I wish I could go to a hotel and just sleep. I wish I could just go, just do something just for me. Hello? Yes. Sister Linda?
Yes, I'm right here.
Am I telling the truth?
I've done that. Yes, I've done that. I have booked my hotel. Yeah.
and believe God for it, precious, and
praise God,
and take my time out and just kick back and enjoy. Somewhere in the city, I would go out there to Hunt Valley.
Yes.
Just to ride and just to go back and just get a room and relax.
Yes.
Go to the swimming pool.
Oh, my goodness.
That kind of thing, just to take time out for myself.
Yes, yes.
But of course, I had my husband with me, but.
Okay.
But that was required, precious.
Yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that was just good times, yeah.
Yeah, but sometimes, I know, that I remember when I was, and many, many years ago, when I was previously married to my children's father, I thank God, God is blessing me with a wonderful man of God today. But he was number one, and I was number two. I was a duplicate of him. Whatever he wanted, whatever his wish was my command. So, and it's like, you know, and I, to the point that I was a new bride, I was a new wife, and I was doing what I thought I was supposed to do. I did not know the hazard in that, and I was not going against the will of God, but I did not know how the Lord still wanted me to keep a self-image or keep me and also be a wife. And it was okay, whatever he wanted, that was, I mean, you know that commercial, I can bring home the bacon, fry it up in a pan, and never know let you forget you the man because I'm a woman. And that's what we are used to doing. We wear so many hats in the course of a day. We wear so many hats. And we don't be complaining about it. We just, it's just like in the Tyler Perry movie, you know, a black woman's going to do what a woman's got to do. And we don't think about it.
Yeah.
We just do it. And all. But in the meantime, we don't realize how we're neglecting ourselves, beating down ourselves, tiring out ourselves, stripping ourselves of energy and everything. And it's
wearing ourselves out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Literally, wear yourself out until the whatever flu germ comes and knocks you down. Whatever germ comes, it knocks you out because you are so worn out. And I know at one time, I mean, it was just like I was so involved in everything around me. I forgot my favorite ice cream. I forgot what I liked. I forgot my favorite color. And I really had to think about it. Like, It was just like, well, no, that's what your husband like. What do you like? Wow. You know what? But God wants us to rest. He wants us to rest in Him. And and then we have to be careful not to pass those things down to our daughters. Yes, you pass down the Proverbs 31 woman, but that's not all to us. And usually when people preach about women, they preach about, on Women's Day or Mother's Day, they preach about Proverbs 31 woman. But that is not all there is to us. God wants us to rest. He wants us to rest and to rest in Him. He doesn't want us to tear our bodies down to the point that we don't have anything to give to anybody. I used to tell my mother, Ma, how can you give anything to, how can you praise God in a tired body? You just always giving out. I said, how can you do that? You have to take some time to rest. You have to take some time to give to yourself, minister to yourself. You do.
Yes. I used to say to myself that, and I still do it, that we have to learn how to live and breathe and move in God.
Uh-huh.
Okay, that those are the things that we are inherently, as we journey, take our journeys and growing up in families and marriage and everything, we have to not let God, you know, not let Him be out of our lives, because that's who we go to for our strength.
Yes.
That's where we go for our comfort.
Uh-huh. And in our knowledge, you know, it's an echo. I'm sorry, baby. It's an echo. I apologize.
Oh, no, that's all right. I think it was on my part, but we don't go. We ain't going to let nothing stop us tonight.
Yeah, no, because in wisdom and knowledge, when we go into our Father, he says anything we come to him and ask him, say, if we ask him for bread, he would not deny us. He would not give us a stone.
Right.
So even in knowledge, we go in his word and go into him to find out how to do and to be.
Yeah.
Because we're not only educators, we're hot, like you say, we're wives, we're yeah. mothers.
Yeah.
And I was born with two kids with special needs because my children had heart things. So that made me get back in the medical field. I had to learn how to medically do things, and not just in the medical place, but in the natural, in my home, to help heal my babies and their bodies and things by what I fed them and everything. So it's a lot to being a woman and a mother and a wife.
Yeah.
So there's a journey that we take, and God, he gives us instructions all the way through it. He gives us favor.
Yeah.
He lines us up with others, you know, women who are walking with us.
Thank
and
you.
I don't know, because I'm in old school, but I think that's still necessary for now that the older women are to teach the young.
Yes, 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 yes.
You know,
yes.
So that we're able to give sound advice and to give hope.
Yeah.
And knowledge to them, you know. So yes. That's one of the things that I would love to be, you know, part of.
Yeah, Sister Linda, I was just saying, visualizing young people, us in front of young people, and sharing young with the young ladies the things that we were taught when we were brought up. And some because I was telling somebody recently, I don't know if I was on the job or I'm not on the job anymore. I was telling somebody that I know we were told that the older women are supposed to teach the younger women. I said, but the ones that I've seen, when I see the, and I have to speak from, like, when the parent or the grandparents would drop their children off at daycare or where you, or in the agency where I used to work, they didn't know enough to teach the younger ones. Or whatever, they wanted to run with the younger ones.
Right.
And
right.
You didn't know, I'm sorry, I did not know some of the grandmothers from the mothers. One of the
yeah.
little girls was saying, she said, see you later, Nana. I said, Anna. I said, you're not her mother. She said, no, I'm her grandmother. Well, Andy. And it's just like the mothers, the grandmothers want to hang with the mothers, and then the great-grandmothers were my age. I was like,
yeah.
What? Therefore, and they all want to party together. They all want to be out there swinging and having a good time together. So who teaches, who is there to teach the next generation?
Right,
oh,
right.
You don't,
right.
You don't, they want to, they feel as if they're missing something. They don't have time.
Yeah.
They don't have the time to teach them because, I'm out here having myself a good time, huh? She had that child. She had raised that child, but I raised her, so now it's her turn. That's her child. She got to raise that child. But it's so
yeah.
much teaching that needs to go on. That young mother needs to know, well, we don't have to wash out and sterilize baby bottles anymore, I don't think.
No, I don't know. The new technology that they have for the children and everything is above what I could even think and imagine, because when we came along, we had the cloth diapers.
Right, yes, yes.
I mean, my babies, they had the cloth diapers, and I had to wash them out at night and hang them on the line and everything and dry them. Now
yes.
they have the paper ones that you just throw away. I don't even know if they use cloth diapers anymore. But the truth of it, things are, even in learning to be a mother and learning to come into your womanhood, you need to know how to take care of self.
Yes.
Okay. And that is like in the things of God. That's where I found my strength. Fortunately, my parents, well, my mother and my grandmother and my aunties and all, they believed on God.
Yes.
And
hallelujah.
They taught God. They taught Jesus. They was Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But they also taught that as women, when we come into age of motherhood and things, there were things that we had to learn. And again, as a child, we had to learn things as a child. By the age of 12, we needed to know certain things. And so when we walked up into womanhood, we definitely had to know how to take care of ourselves and to love ourselves and our body and the things that we went through as women. You know, that's the care of our feet and our hair and our skin. And back then, you know, they didn't have a lot of products that they bought from, like where we go in the store now and everything is a product on a shelf. They taught us that the things that we used at home, the natural things to clean and to do with, you know, and that I think sometimes that's a lost art. But it's coming back because people are going back to the things of coconut oil, the things that the very thing that you eat is the very thing that you apply to your body. And I know this is going to sound crazy, but even to your hair, you know. And now they're beginning to see that that stuff works, that those old people weren't foolish, you know. So I'm sorry, but I mean, as I'm walking and I'm hearing these kids are talking and they're talking about the things of going back to the earth and all and the natural way of doing things. That wasn't lost on us, you know. I'm sorry, sis, but I'm thinking about the bath and the water because we used to do the Epsom salt baths.
Yes.
You know, that was a product that they used also for laxatives, you know.
Wow.
You know, but they did that for the stress of our bodies and the soreness in our joints and things.
Yes.
Back in the day, we used to have to soak in the Epsom salt or salt water baths,
So
I'm just thinking about a lot of things as women that we can do and teach one another, even in this time, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I thought about when our feet, how to properly take care of our feet and our legs. And, you know, my mom used to say you can tell a lot about a woman by the way her feet and legs and things look. So they would talk. Yeah, they would too. They would say, make sure your feet and things are cleaned and everything. And then we were taught what the ankle bracelets were, and we had the toe rings. And I know a lot of times a lot of the Christian churches and things frowned upon a lot of jewelry and everything. But we were taught to adorn ourselves, you know, to keep ourselves in a feminine way, not in a boisterous way, but the ankle bracelets, as a matter of fact. The left leg was for you were married, if you had an ankle bracelet on the left leg. And if you were of age and you were waiting to court a date, you would wear it on the right leg. So these were things that we were taught, but we didn't get into, you know, like the court and state till we got of age. And I'm, you know, but that's the things that they taught us.
Yeah.
And so these were like stuff that we had to know, and even to wear and how we dressed in our apparel and different things and carried ourselves as women, you know. And I don't know if that's still being taught now.
I don't think so, Sister Linda. You know what they do today, huh? You see a lady with a ankle break on, she's a hussy.
She's a hussy? I didn't know
hussy.
That.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, I'm serious. That was, you didn't hear nothing like this. I'm serious. No, indeed. It was just too many. It was just some jewelry. And my eyes were so big, and I couldn't find none in the store. And growing up in a household, and I came in. No, indeed. We couldn't even polish our fingernails.
Are you serious?
I'm serious, because we came up in a holiness strict house, and we could not polish our nail. If you did, and then if you one day, and I remember in elementary school, because we came in a strict holiness church, and we had big little children's pencils, black lead pencils, and I thought.
Yeah.
Fingernail polish was, I mean, it was so nice. And I put the fingernail, the pencil lead on my, telling my fingernails with it. But before I would ring my mother's doorbell to get in the house, you best believe I was licking my fingers and rubbing my nails on my skirt, on my clothes. Yeah, get it off. Because my mother would say, what is that? I remember one day that when I had clear fingernail polish on my fingers, and our dining room table was big enough to seat 10. It was all 10 of us, mom and dad and all of us. And my mother was at one end, and I was sitting at the other end of the table. She said, Peaches, what's that on your finger? It's just clear polish, ma. I said, mm-hmm. Oh, I knew I better get it off. I'm sorry, Linda. It was.
Get out.
I came up in a straight home. It was no red. You in the church that we came up. It was no red female polish. Just like I said, you were hush. You were no colored lips or nothing. Yet. But even beside that, there are still things that the older women had to teach the young women about taking care of the body, taking care of the, you know, wearing deodorant.
Take
care of your hair, your skin. You know, you can still take care of your nails, you know, the cuticles and, you know, and stuff like that, and taking care of your body. You know, it's a lot of the older women that if we don't pass it down, the ones that has been taught that, it will not be passed on. It will not. And just like you were saying about the Epsom salt, bathing in the salt and you know, and things up for laxatives. My mother used to give us cod liver oil and rock candy.
Right. What we used to take the same cod liver or the fisherman's oil. The fisherman's oil. They used to have the white that was kind of white and stuff. And Scott's emulsions. We had different little things. But see, the thing is, I'm glad you brought that up. My grandmother and my great aunt was holiness, and my grandmother was raised Baptist. And there was always a conflict between the two sisters on how we were supposed to have been raised, okay? So that's why I'm glad you brought that up, because it was always like, well, you know, like you said, in holiness, you couldn't do these things.
Yeah.
And grandmother said that it wasn't what you put on you that made you a sinner, is what came out of you that caused you to be a sinner. It wasn't what you adorned yourself with, it's how you adorned yourself and went out to, you know, promote yourself, you know. So those were things that they used to get in the argument. They even argued about this when I'm speaking in prayer language.
Wow.
My aunt would tell my grandmother she was thinking like that because she hadn't been given, she wasn't really saved because God hadn't given her her prayer language yet. And my grandmother was saying, you don't even know what you're talking about when you're saying it anyway.
Oh, my goodness.
I was in the middle of these real deep arguments between the families. Well, it wasn't to the point of being bitter or anything, but it was a point of contact where they could talk and share what both of them had learned together, you know, and then that was passed down to us.
Wow.
So that was something that we did in my family, you know?
Yes.
And,
and you hear the cliche, eat the meat, spit out the bones.
Yeah.
That's what we had to do because my mom was raised up with a lot of superstitions. And all because of the times that she was raised, the instead of going to the funeral homes, the bodies were laid in rest in state in the living room.
Right,
the
they did.
Were in
they
the living
did.
Room,
yeah.
And let everybody else know that there was a body in state. You hung a wreath on the doorknob.
Yes.
So therefore, she never allowed us to hang anything on the doorknob because it reminded her. A body being laying in state, and we never we always thought superstitious. She never allowed us to put a hat on a bed or a hat on the table. Some things were because of the times that they were brought up. They didn't, and that's you know. So I said, you know what, my older sister said, well, you got to eat the meat, spit out the bones. Everything that Mama told us wasn't crazy. Because of the time she was brought up. But when it came to the Word of God.
Yes.
The Word of God didn't change, and it don't change, and it's still today.
It never changed. It never changes the same.
For real.
And same today, yesterday, and forever. God's Word. Yes.
Yes. And because of the Word of God, it has gotten us to where we are today.
Yes.
And no matter what craziness might have gone on in our homes after we have gotten grown, when we have held on to the Word of God, and God has brought us through, and there are things that I've been able to teach my daughters,
right,
and on, and they have held on. I've taught them about faith. They are all women of faith. They know how, and they will give me back the word of God that I have taught them. Oh, mommy was just claiming and believing, ma. And it's like, wow. Yeah. And they are at the age that they're able to bless me now. I put the word of God in them. And thank God we have been able to give our children the word. They are not able to look at us and say, well, ma, well, you might have been in church on Sunday, but you was sneaking and dipping and doing this and that on as soon as Monday and Tuesday came around or whatever.
Right.
Thank God we were.
Cut you off, but in the ministries and going into churches and stuff, I think that a lot of people are putting a lot of pressure on what the pastor or the people in the church are doing, and they're not paying attention to the word of God. I mean, the word of God said we all have sinned and fallen short, but we come into God's house to learn.
Uh-huh.
And that was what I was glad of when I got older, because being raised Baptist and being, you know, and just coming into a place where I was taught to understand the word of God and to hold it dear and to look at the word of God as opposed to the people of God.
Thank you.
You know, because, you know, this is a place where we're in judgment of one another as opposed to looking at what God is saying for our lives.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a personal walk, because God says, you come with me. You're walking with him. And thank God that we do have leaders, and God has put people in place that we can follow. And that's one of the reasons why we come back to the women and try to teach the young ones, but not as a, like, you know, we were above this and above that, because God says we all have sinned and fallen short. But we come around because we get in the place of where he forgives us. I know, and it's not that I'm saying that people should fall, but I'm saying in the care of a woman, because sometimes women are placed in things that are intolerable by their husbands and intolerable by the situations that they're in. And we fall short, sis.
Uh-huh.
And but there's a place where we can still go into God.
Mm-hmm.
And know that God is there for us. And so that is something that I think while we're talking about self-care, that we need to know that everything is not until death, that
right.
we have a time of repentance, that we have a time of asking God for forgiveness, and then we to forgive one another. He said, because how many times in one day should we forgive? He said, 7 times 70 in one day. So those are things, too, that are healthy to know, to grow into as a young lady or an older woman, you know, that there are things that we fall short of.
Yes.
But God is our strength and our source and our hope and everything that we stand in need of. He comes and he lets people come into our lives.
Yes.
Even though, you know, we're thinking we're walking alone, well, God will send someone and walk beside us. And
Amen.
Give us information and share with us the truth of love and the truth of God and the hope of God. Because if we didn't have those things, we would be in a hopeless situation. Some of people are, when you're married or not married, there are things that you yield and you burn for, you know, as women. And we cannot discount that as if something is not real. It is real to us, and we need to know where we can go and get the help and the understanding, and not in judgment of one another, but in love, because God said, how should they know us but by the love we share?
Yeah.
To be able to give out and to share love with one another in truth and the word of God. And that's why, like, you know, there's superstitions, but there's still God's word that he covers everything.
Praise
you know? Superstition comes from man. If that's some stuff that was brought up by man's, you know, place where we are walking through. But when we're sojourning, God will give us truth if we ask him. And he will give us people who will give us truth if we ask. And that's where we get our healing, too, is in going before our Father. Am I saying this right, sis? I'm hoping that I'm making the point of things, because when we get into different phases of religion and different doctrines of religion, it comes a conflict. But there's only one Father, you know, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We go into that. And God says, why do we go into that? Because there's healing in there.
Praise
there's
God.
Deliverance in there. There's hope
yes.
in there. There's
yes.
truth in there. So I'm just talking, sis.
And
I'm glad that I got the dual learning.
Praise God.
It still comes into the oneness of my Father.
Uh-huh.
Sis, am I making sense?
Yes.
Okay. So I'm hoping I didn't get off track, because I don't want any woman to believe that, you know, we do the natural things to our body and to keep ourselves groomed and clean and everything. But if the inside is not right, if the mind is not clean, if the heart is not before things that, you know, we're in a hurt place and unforgiveness and a whole lot of other stuff, I don't care how much we bathe and groom, there's a thing that the inner part that needs to be changed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's what I wanted to say, too. We have to work on that inner man. That goes beyond man's understanding.
Yes.
That we only can get when we get into the place where we're listening and believing on God.
Yes.
You know, in the word of God, it cuts sharper and quicker than any two-edged sword. It gives you to the truth. It gets you through the bone and the marrow. It's set in the intent of the heart. So, you know, those are things that sometimes our heart needs healing.
Yes.
Our minds need to be renewed.
Yes.
Not just the physical part of us, not adorning our hair and our ankles and our bracelets and things, but our very soul
yes.
needs to be restored. So I was thinking about it today and how we walk with one another and how we carry and share with one another the things
mm-hmm.
that encourage us
yes.
to seek God's face, to seek him out, to seek the truth of what God's word is saying in our lives and for our lives' sake, so that we can pass that on to generation
yes.
and generation. And not only in tradition, okay, like when we get together for Thanksgiving and everybody comes and we have a turkey and we say, thank you, God. But every day is a day of Thanksgiving.
Oh, yeah.
Because we find something to be thankful for every day. And until that part is healing, that part is soothing. And those are the things that sometimes get lost out of our everyday life. Because we're not grateful for anything.
Yes. And thank God for those holidays where we can stop and rest and enjoy the family. And I'm going to read something. It says, be still and rest. It says, praise God for providing us with peace and rest and being our source of strength during our weak people moments. We need to remember that we are designed to take a break.
Hey,
and these Bible verses about rest will remind you, God divinely created and ordained a Sabbath day for us to rest, draw near to him, and rest in his holy presence. Jesus beautifully exemplified taking time to rest during his ministry here on earth.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
And what we had to do, it says, we will be more focused on helping others instead of helping ourselves, because our outlook on life will be more God-focused, not me-focused.
Yes.
And dreams will be rekindled, because we would continually be reminded that our Creator is all-powerful. We wouldn't run ourselves ragged all the time trying to push through and make things happen.
Yes.
Because we trust that God is in control.
Yes.
We would develop that proverbial ear to hear that Christ referred to, because we had learned the sound of our Lord's voice.
Hallelujah, my sister.
Yes.
Hallelujah, yes. Because we learn to understand and hear the voice of God.
Yes.
I mean, it's just in somebody, people say, well, how can you hear the voice of God? Oh, it's in the wind and the air. It's in the rain. It's in everything that has life and brings life.
And if you get quiet enough, even when you're reading the word of God, sometimes when I am, like, I may be not contemplating something or wondering something or trying to understand something, you may see somebody doing it, and something has happened in life, and you're trying to get an understanding, because in your own mind you just don't understand it, or how, or why in the world would something like that happen? And then when you're in the Word of God, He may drop something in your spirit.
Yes.
And it's not like somebody else. It's not like you remembering something from somebody else, but what is said to you in your spirit, you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that it was God. It came from God.
Yes.
Because it came, didn't come from your mind.
No.
It wasn't nothing you was thinking about.
No.
But it was almost, it was a clarity on something that you were wondering about. And it's just like a light goes off. And you say, oh my goodness.
Yes.
You can be on a shadow of doubt. You know it was God.
You know it was on a shadow of God. And see, again, that comes into self-care. Caring enough to go in and reading the Word of God and hearing the Word of God and sharing the Word of God and living in the things of God.
Yeah.
You know, she said to be holy. You know, and we're supposed to submit our bodies as a living sacrifice before a Most High God. And so that's another thing, to yield yourself over. I'm just, you know, listening, and, you know, when we're doing things and we're walking and we're talking about the spiritual side of our lives, this comes from commitment and keeping a vow to God, a covenant vow, because anything we vow to God is under covenant, and we need to keep our word. Anything we promised God when we were going through something with that man or with them children or with any situation, we need to keep our vow, keep our word to God, to seek him out, to find him. And God says, if you look for me, you can find me. You know, that scripture says, it's that one, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that what that one?
Yes, seek ye first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness.
Yes.
All these things will be added.
All these things will be added unto you.
That's why we have to encourage the young people, Linda.
Yes.
Because they'll feel, I'll take care of this, but when it comes to me and my man or me and a man, I'll take care of that part. No, whatever you committed unto the Lord, God is able. God is a keeper. He can keep. He can keep. And we have to let them know God is able to keep you, honey, even that part of you. He cares about even that part of you.
Yes, he does. He
does. And
every
to let them know,
yes,
whatever. Look, God, and we had to testify. And I know that in past years, the Lord has not let me, witness to a mass amount of women at one time about going through a divorce or going through a separation. But it's always been a one-on-one. And I've been able to talk. And the women being able to receive strength and been able to let them and been able to say, wow, if he did that for you, I know he can do that for me. You know, because we have to, sometimes some of the things may be so that it may only be shared on a one-on-one. Because you never know, well, nobody's going to get up in church and text about, oh, my husband running around on me or something like that. But,
well, let me stop you there, because sometimes you ain't got to get up and testify because the church already know. Okay? I'm sorry about that. But I have to come in here because while we're talking to women, I have to talk truth to power. My husband was a runner. Every time I look, he was out the door, you know. I laugh because somebody was sharing with me, girl, you must be a glutton for punishment because ain't nobody keep going back in there with their husband and stuff, you know. And, you know, what was so funny, and I kept saying, God, what are you doing here? What is this about? You know, because I was hurting and I didn't know how to handle things, and I wanted to let my husband be saved, and he would come in and he would cry for mercy in the church, and he wasn't going to do it no more. The next thing I know, I would look for him coming home from work, and he wouldn't be there, you know, because he was in and out. And I was like, Lord, this is something else. How can I do this? What do you want me to do? And he'd say, forgive him. And I would say, forgive him? You know, and I'm like, okay, God, okay. And I was in my prime, sis. To me, and my life was like, okay, you know, you can come and go, I don't care. But then God said, you be still. Be still and love him. Love him like he's not going to be here. And I was sitting up there, and I would say, oh, my gosh, whoa. And my husband would come in, and I would love him up one side and down the other. And the next thing I know, he back out the door.
And I'm saying, wait a minute, God. I would pack my bags, just had them under the bed because I was going to divorce this dude. And went to get my bags from under the bed, and I took a step to go down and the steps to leave. And God said, I hate divorce. Oh, sis, you talking about wanting to cry and scream out, what are you doing here? Okay? Why are you putting me through this? This is me talking to God. Because this doesn't make sense to me. Why should I be here with this man woman? But you know what God said? Forgive him. Girl, forgive him.
I can imagine. I'll never forget that night I listened to Charles Stanley on WRBS 95.1,
yes.
And he talked about forgiveness.
Yes.
And years later, I was told forgiveness is not for the other person, it's for you.
It was for me, sis.
And for real, and he said, even if the person has died, he said, set a chair there in front of you. He said, imagine that person in that chair and tell that person, I forgive you.
Yes.
I forgive you. And don't you know there is healing and forgiveness?
Yes.
There's healing in it.
You know.
And my husband said, he said, you know why God, vengeance is mine. I will repay in the Bible.
Yes.
He said, that's so we don't get in trouble.
Yeah. Well, listen,
so we don't get in trouble.
Listen to sis, but I walked with that husband for years. And I walked with him. He got sick. All of a sudden he got sick. He needed a new heart.
Mm.
And while I was there, and I'm praying and believing God for him, and God told me that, he said, it's okay. It was for the saving of his soul. I'm thinking that, you know, it was just because, you know, we were married and this, and he needed to do this and do that. But God was still using me as an instrument of peace in this man's life.
Yes.
And I did not understand it. Oh, I'm sorry, baby. I didn't mean to hold you up.
No.
But God has a reason for everything.
Yes.
So,
but that made me think about the in Hosea, how the Lord told Hosea to marry Gomer.
That's what I'm talking about.
Now, you know what? I'm gonna tell you this. That's when I found out about that scripture, and I said, oh, God, look, after I called the man up and told him, God forgive me, he'd come back home, and he didn't. Don't tell me to do that.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying, sis.
It's sufficient.
Listen, sis, there's a lesson in all things that we can share with the young,
and
that we can tell them about the walk and the understanding and trusting in God and holding on to the things of God and knowing that God works everything out together for your good. So I love you, sis.
Praise God. Thank you so much.
Praise him.
We hope that we have shared something that the women out there they can hold on to and continue to trust in the Lord. And just know that there are women out that if you need prayer, whatever, call 410-444-5155. And just hold on to God no matter what you're going through. Jesus is able. He is in control. Hallelujah. See the second body of next month.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bless the Lord.
Hallelujah. Bless the Lord. I think I'm gone. Not what the Lord is about. Thank you.